Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Thursday, March the 20th. Pope Francis' recovery continues with his doctors saying he no longer requires mechanical ventilation at night. The Vatican's Central Office for Church Statistics releases its annual report, showing that numbers of Catholics worldwide have continued to increase, while the number of pastoral ministers has continued to decrease. And as the United States carries out fresh airstrikes in Yemen, the region's apostolic vicar warns of disastrous consequences for the civilian population. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. On Wednesday evening, the Holy See Press Office said that Pope Francis's health is confirmed to be improving, adding that he no longer needs mechanical ventilation at night and also has less need of high-flow oxygen therapy during the day. The Pope's doctors said that his lung infections are under control, although not yet eliminated, and they added that the values of his clinical analyses are in the normal range and the Pope continues to be fever-free. Pope Francis spent yesterday receiving treatment, praying and doing some work, they said, and the Holy See Press Office added that no decision has yet been made regarding who will preside over the liturgies of Holy Week. Since the Pope's condition is stable, the next update on his health is expected no earlier than next week. That was the update from the Holy See Press Office yesterday evening. This morning, the Press Office hosted an event on the impact of artificial intelligence on child safeguarding. Britta Holmberg was one of the speakers at the conference, and she spoke to Vatican Radio about the importance of involving child protection services in AI development.
The situation we have today is very much that the majority of people, like myself, like others who are in a leadership position, we maybe don't feel that we know enough about technology. And therefore, we tend to leave it to the tech companies that they should solve it. The regulation should be around them. But that's a big mistake because AI is very little about technique. The implications of AI and the use of AI, that needs to be influenced by all of us because we now have the possibility to help shape how AI impacts children. If we step away because we feel that we don't understand enough, then we leave it to those who do not understand children, who do not see firsthand how AI can be misused for children, and also would fail to see the opportunities for how we can use it to protect children.
Do you think that people who are creating those opportunities don't think enough about children?
Definitely. In Sweden, we have been working with creating a hub where we combine and bring together tech expertise, AI expertise, and those who work with children and understand children. And what we do see that often the tech people, they say, that problem, that's not difficult technologically. But we, as kind of the child protection people, we wouldn't even understand that it is possible for a technological point of view to solve some of the issues. But on the other hand, they first wouldn't understand the problems, and second, not always really understand rights of children, that children also have the right to privacy, to integrity, to participation, all of that. So I think that sometimes their solution would be protect, meaning take away the screen, take away things from children, rather than kind of how can you still empower children, but also use it in a way that kind of protects them.
That was Britta Holmberg, Vice Secretary of the World Childhood Foundation, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Marie Duhamel at a conference in the Holy See Press Office. The other big news from the Vatican today is that the Central Office of Church Statistics has released its annual report, the 2025 Pontifical Yearbook, which provides details about lay Catholics, consecrated religious, priests and bishops throughout the world, showed that the number of Catholics is continuing to rise as pastoral ministers decline. Devin Watkins reports.
The Vatican Publishing House has published the Pontifical Yearbook 2025 and the Annuarium Statisticum Ecclesiae 2023, which was compiled by the Central Office of Church Statistics, a department of the Secretariat of State. The global Catholic population increased by 1.15% between 2022 and 2023, rising from approximately 1.39 billion to 1.406 billion, similar to the previous 2 years. Africa boasts 20% of Catholics, North and South America 48%, Asia 11%, Europe 20%, and Oceania 2%. At the end of 2023, there were 406,000 priests worldwide, with a large portion in Europe and the Americas. Candidates for the priesthood are also fewer everywhere except Africa, which saw a 1% increase in major seminarians. Permanent deacons have seen a vigorous increase to their ranks with an increase of 2.6%. Religious sisters and brothers have continued their steady decline in numbers, on the other hand, albeit at a less intense pace. Africa and Southeast Asia saw an increase in religious sisters, while other continents, which account for a high proportion of sisters, recorded a decline of nearly 4%. According to the Office of Church Statistics, the overall picture is that the laity continues its steady, healthy increase in baptized Catholics, while there are fewer ordained and consecrated ministers to provide pastoral care. I'm Devin Watkins.
More than 100 people have died as a result of renewed airstrikes by US forces in Yemen. The US said the strikes were in retaliation for attacks by Houthi rebels on Red Sea shipping, as well as ballistic missile attacks on Israel. And US President Donald Trump has threatened the Houthis with, quote, complete annihilation. The Apostolic Vicar of Southern Arabia, Bishop Paolo Martinelli, has said that open and large-scale conflict in Yemen would be disastrous for the civilian population. Christopher Wells reports.
The highest-ranking prelate in Southern Arabia, Capuchin Bishop Paolo Martinelli, has expressed concerns about escalation in the ongoing conflict in Yemen. Civil war, which began in 2014, triggered what at the time was described as the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. As many as 400,000 people are believed to have died in the war, with millions more displaced and suffering from extreme hunger, poverty, and disease. Because of great insecurity, it is hard to carry out humanitarian aid projects that can actually change the situation and finally allow a new beginning, Bishop Martinelli said. It is a cause of great suffering to think that in such a beautiful country, people find themselves in such great poverty. The Vicar Apostolic noted that it is especially the weakest groups, including some 3 million internally displaced Yemeni children, who pay the highest price. While a truce between government and Houthi rebel forces appears to be holding, the conflict between Hamas and Israel has complicated diplomatic efforts to end the civil war in Yemen. Bishop Martinelli said U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to declare Houthis terrorists has raised questions about the implications for North Yemen. He warned that an open and large-scale conflict would be a cause of deep pain for the possible consequences for civilians. The Yemeni people, he said, have been burdened by 10 years of civil war. We can only vaguely imagine the suffering of the population in the event of a full-scale war. I'm Christopher Wells.
Both Russia and Ukraine stepped up aerial attacks early on Thursday, killing at least two people in Ukraine's Kharkiv region and injuring many more. Infrastructure in both countries was also destroyed. The latest wave of violence follows the Russian President Vladimir Putin's commitment to a 30-day halt to strikes on Ukrainian energy infrastructure. And in the meantime, the death toll continues to rise and people continue to suffer after now more than 3 years since Russia's large-scale invasion of Ukraine. Danielle Vella, the head of the Jesuit Refugee Services International Reconciliation Programme, has just returned from a visit to Ukraine. She spoke to Vatican News about the everyday lives of Ukrainians, the tremendous impact of the war, and of her meetings with people and with church leaders, including Bishop Theodore Matsapula, who, she said, is accompanying many grieving families.
I mentioned Bishop Theodore, who said that they have funerals in their church almost every day, and outside is a memorial with neat rows of photos of the faces of men and women who have been killed. Every city, every village we saw had something similar. And it feels so strange to see memorials for a war that's still going on. And the cemeteries are so heartbreaking. They're like a sea of yellow and blue, full of graves, you know, decked with Ukrainian flags, so many flowers and personal memories like soft toys, keychains, photos of pets, of children. It's just very, very sad. And you can feel the concern about the soldiers. It just spills over into seemingly normal life, you know, in every conversation that you have, especially, of course, amongst their families. But the suffering of the people goes beyond the horrific risks faced by the soldiers. And I'd like to quote something Marta said. She works with Caritas in a diocese in Transcarpathia. And she said, it's like a rocket exploded on each and every household. She was talking especially about the separation of the families, with men leaving, women staying back to care for children and elderly. So there's just so much impact at so many levels. And again, I emphasize how so many people mourn the communities they had, because they feel that with death, with the flight of refugees, these communities are gone. And then there is also the arrival of people from the east of Ukraine, where the war is raging. There are 3.7 million internally displaced people in Ukraine. And in some places, like in one of the regions, Transcarpathia, where I was, one in every four people is displaced, which is a really pretty high number, putting this region at a par with countries hosting the highest number of refugees per capita in the world, like Lebanon.
That was Danielle Vella, head of the Jesuit Refugee Services International Reconciliation Programme, speaking there to Linda Bordoni. Over to Asia, Colonel Charles Muang Bo, Archbishop of Yangon, Myanmar, has called for unity amid ongoing bloodshed in the country, speaking during a sermon for the first ever episcopal ordination of a Tamil priest in the country. The cardinal also decried caste systems and divisions. Deborah Castellano-Lebov reports.
In the context of Myanmar's ongoing civil war, Cardinal Charles Muang Bo, the Archbishop of Yangon and president of the country's Catholic Bishops' Conference, says what is most needed is unity. The cardinal's remarks came on the 19th of March, the feast of St. Joseph, during the episcopal ordination of new auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Yangon, Bishop Raymond Wailin Han. In his remarks, Cardinal Bo urged the new bishop to create healing hope for Myanmar's wounded people, stressing that thousands need his healing presence, words, and ministry. In terms of uncertainty and crisis, like what we experience in Myanmar today, with political turmoil, displacement, and social suffering, Myanmar's cardinal underscored, a bishop must stand firm in faith like Abraham, who trusted in God's promises, even when all seemed impossible. The cardinal stressed that the bishop's faith must not be in worldly solutions, but in the unshakable providence of God, even in the darkest of times. In the face of despair, Cardinal Bo added, he must remind his people that God's justice and peace will prevail. In a world where corruption, injustice, and fear dominate, Cardinal Bo said, a bishop must be a moral compass. Cardinal Bo told Bishop Raymond Wailin Tan to imitate St. Joseph by protecting and nurturing Christ's presence in his church. In addition, Cardinal Bo said he wished to offer the bishop an important message. As the world is divided by war and conflicts based on religion and tribes, he said what we need is unity, especially amid the bloodshed and deaths of thousands in the wars in Gaza, Ukraine, and their own country of Myanmar. He urged everyone to acknowledge that the caste system and other divisions are an insult to Christ, and that when we, who claim to follow Christ, look down upon others due to caste, tribe, or background, we commit the same blasphemy. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va, and you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.